The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
Hey, everybody. It's the Paul Spiteri Show. Welcome. It is August 7th, Sunday. Beautiful day here in Long Island. Hopefully you're at the beach. That's where I spent my afternoon. One announcement, though, before we get the show started. I just got word about an hour ago that my guest tonight, Howard Cross, cannot join the show. I guess he saw my ratings from the first two shows and said, hey, maybe this isn't the right thing for me. No, but Howard told me that he had an unforeseen family situation, so he cannot join the show tonight. He said get him to reschedule. So maybe I will try to bring him on my next show, August 21st. Sorry for anyone who is looking for Howard Cross. Hopefully we can get him back on. I think we'll have a good conversation with him. But we'll still talk a little Giants football, just unfortunately not with Mr. Cross tonight. So a couple of things and kind of themes that I'll take you through. And I've added some content here in the last 50 minutes or so to the show. So to talk a little bit of Mets, little Yankees, real quick, obviously some announcements on some retirements. I want to talk a bit about trade deadline recap. A lot of good action after we talked last week on the show and some of the deals that went down. I'll talk about who I think won and lost in the trade deadline. Talk a little bit about the Jets, and then have a little bit of an NFL preview. And then we'll start our fantasy football preview. For those of you who are fantasy football fans, the drafts are upcoming. And I'm going to give you a little bit of my views on quarterbacks and running backs and time-permitting wide receivers, which are probably the most dynamic part of fantasy football. But again, if you want to start out by joining me on the show tonight, please give me a call, 631-888-8811. Again, 631-888-8811. If you want to call in and talk about any of the topics tonight, feel free. Before I get started, I do want to thank my sponsor, CJA Luxury Transportation. For all your transportation needs, call CJA Luxury Transportation. Offers airport trips, trips into Manhattan, trips to the wineries, trips to weddings, anywhere you need to go. All luxury vehicles at reasonable taxicab-type prices. Call Craig, reliable, 516-557-7991. Again, call Craig at CJA Luxury Transportation, 516-557-7991. So let's get started with a couple of points that I want to make. First of all, last night I watched a little bit of the Hall of Fame speeches, and I watched Brett Favre, who was on for pretty much an hour, it seemed like. I enjoyed watching Brett Favre play football. I mean, who did not? I mean, if you didn't like watching Favre play, whether you're for him or against him, he was a great guy to watch. I loved his speech in the sense that, you know, he literally went around and thanked all of his family, you know, from his wife, his mother-in-law, his mom, brothers, sisters, you know, I think, you know, these guys in the NFL or any type of professional athlete, there's a lot that their families do for them, right? I think the sacrifices the wife and even the kids make when the dad's not home, and just all the things that go with being a professional athlete. I think it was great that Favre, you know, literally thanked everyone, brother-in-laws, cousins, everybody. It was really, I thought it was really nice. So kudos to Brett. I did not see the other speeches. I was happy to see guys like Kenny Stabler, even though, you know, I'm a lifelong Bronco fan. I was happy Kenny Stabler got in. A lot of Raider fans are happy about that. Marvin Harrison, I thought, well-deserved. Orlando Pace, well-deserved. Kevin Green, well-deserved. You know, Tony Dungy, great guys going in there. I'd be curious to see who goes up next year. I think LaDainian Tomlinson's on the docket. You know, he'll make it. I'd like to see Terrell Owens get in there. Love him or hate him, the guy was a great football player. And then tonight, NFL canceled the Hall of Fame game. And the reason was because the paint was too hard or concrete-like on the emblems in midfield and in the end zone. I mean, I've never heard of this before, but I think that the worst part of it, I mean, listen, the Hall of Fame game is a bore fest. I know everyone's got their football fix. You want to watch football. I'm sure after, you know, a quarter, you like turn this off. It looks like a flag football game in the beginning. And then when the guys who are fighting for jobs play, gets a little bit better, but then the quality of the play drops. But I think, imagine if you're a rookie or a free agent trying to make a football team. It's your first game. You're all jacked up. You get out to Canton. You're all fired up. Then you find out you can't play the game because the emblems were painted too hard and cement-like, as I read one thing before I came on. in the end zones and in the middle field. That's just fascinating. I'm sure the NFL will fix it. I'm sure they're thoroughly embarrassed. They had all kinds of contingency fan fest they're going to turn into. But, boy, that is a messy, messy thing. Also, let's a couple other quick points before we get into the Mets. Congratulations, Ichiro Suzuki. Great hitter. 3,000 hits today. You know, it's interesting, though. Will his Hall of Fame speech be the first one needing a translator? I was watching some with Ichiro. He's been here since 2001 and cannot speak English enough to take an interview. Shocking to me. But Ichiro, congratulations to you. Great hitter. Still going at it. Unbelievable what he's experienced. I agree with what Eric said prior. I wouldn't add his Japanese hits to his total. He's got 3,000 major league hits. That's what's the gauge. But still a great accomplishment. A little bit on Olympic basketball. I've watched some of the Olympics. I'm not a huge Summer Olympic guy. I can see the excitement. A lot of people love the gymnastics, the diving. It is quite compelling. Like I watched some Hungarian swimmer, a lady, won the multiple swim style event last night. So I couldn't even tell you what the events are, but pretty impressive. She broke the world record. And the technology, which is awesome, when you watch the Olympics, they have like the world record line, and you see the person swimming ahead of it, and then it's catching up to it. It's really cool what they've done with technology. So I watch a little bit of the Olympics, but from the basketball perspective, I've had enough. Honestly, I think the U.S. has proved we're the best country when it comes to basketball. A couple of hiccups here and there. But listen, no one wants to watch them beat China by 60 points. It's a joke. I mean, to me, put the college kids back in. I'd love to see Ben Simmons or someone like that playing in the Olympics, because it would mean a lot to him. The competition, the pressure would be one unbelievable. These guys are on a yacht. Apparently, they all went out to a brothel, or a couple of them the other night. I mean, listen, enough. Get the NBA guys out of the Olympics. We all know we're the best in the world when it comes to basketball, and let's move on. I just don't think it's very compelling. One other point I was looking today, Manny Machado hit 3 home runs in 3 innings. One prediction I want to make, Manny Machado's free agent contract in a couple of years will be bigger than Bryce Harper's. I certainly think, I'm sure everybody around Major League Circuits realizes how good Manny Machado really is. He is an unbelievable baseball player. 3 homers, 7 RBIs in the first 3 innings of baseball today. I actually would like to see Baltimore make a run in the postseason just to see Manny Machado get on the bigger screen and on the bigger stage, because I really think he's a great player. So again, folks, want to dial in, ask any questions on the topics tonight, talk a little Mets, Yankees, trade deadline, Jets, Giants, and fantasy football. 631-888-8811 is the number here at Sports Talk 1240 on AM WGBB. Talk a little bit about the Mets. I've had a couple of shows, talked about the Mets consistently. Since we were on last week, nice job, Sandy, getting Jay Bruce. I think, Jay Bruce is a good offensive player. Met fans, I had a friend of mine, I had lunch the other day. He was complaining that Jay Bruce was 0-for-8. And I said, this is, typical New York fan. Jay Bruce is a solid power guy. He is not an average guy. But, got him at $13 million next year. Who knows what's going to happen with Yoenis, Tiger Woods, Cespedes, and what he's going to do next year. I think it's good getting Bruce. Listen, the Mets will contend for a wild card with his bat. Cespedes went down like we thought. Something seems wrong there. I think the Mets, again, with their wonderful medical staff, something definitely screwy went down. He should have been on the Sandy Alston said we should have DL'd him weeks ago. I don't know if I'd admit that in public, Sandy. I love it. I think you're a great GM, but... clearly something was not right there. I'm sure the Mets wanted to play you in a Cespedes because they really were depleted. I get that. But, boy, now they're down 2 weeks without him. It's one of those things where there's no retro. Like, they sat him for a week and they can retro the deal back. He literally played the night before against the Yankees, and then, boom, he's gone for 15 days. So you lose him for 15 days, which is definitely not a big help for them right now. I think with Yoenis Cespedes, the whole golfing thing, if you have strained calf or obviously leg problems, should you be going out golfing? I understand golf's not the most strenuous game, but it's enough, especially if you're walking to your shots. I mean, I'm sure he's getting driven around in a cart, but it's still enough. It's a long day out there. It's a couple of hours before a game, nonetheless. I don't know. I think they could all use better discretion. But, hey, listen, the Mets can't control everything these guys do. They knew what they were getting when they signed him. He's still a great baseball player. Hopefully he comes back. And I'd still love to see Yoenis Cespedes here next year, even with Jay Bruce. Because I think, the Mets for next year, it's too early for that conversation. But I think there's some real positional things that Sandy's got to think about. I personally think they need a first baseman and a catcher. at a minimum. Third base might be able to plug. I don't know if Wright's going to come back, but you know, clearly, you know, first base we have a void, and I think Travis d'Arnaud is not the answer at catcher. I'm sorry, you know, he's shown glimpses, but it's just too inconsistent with the bat. And obviously the injury history doesn't help. But I think Sandy's got some issues on that offense, so I'm glad he got Jay Bruce at least. He has him for a decent price, can keep him in, playing right field for the Mets next year, and at least he's something that they can kind of lock in and look forward to. You're also, you know, going to lose Neil Walker at second base. He's a free agent. Mets could be in for a very interesting offseason, folks. Kind of, you know, batting out of hatches over in Citi Field. In terms of this year, 9 games out of first going into the show tonight. I think division's done. They're not going to win the division, guys, with the Nationals. It would take a miracle or something drastic happening. About 2 games out of the wild card. Again, you know, I think the Mets make the wild card great. They could play that 1-game playoff against, you know, someone like the Cardinals or the Pirates or L.A. or San Francisco. I'm not excited about, you know, the team right now. If the health improves and they get super hot in September, maybe it'll change. But right now, I don't see them competing with the roster that they have. I'm sorry, folks. I think from a pitching perspective, you know, Noah Syndergaard is not the same, right? He's not right. Something's wrong. Again, I hope you know, the Mets with their medical history with injuries doesn't come back to bite him. But, you know, hopefully it's just fatigue. But there's clearly something not right. He's not pitching as well as he has. And I think at the end of the day with Noah Syndergaard, you know, let's just keep watching his starts. And if things don't improve, you know, Mets got to really think about doing something with him if the season is not going to go anywhere. Even Steven, you know, even Matt's. Matt's great pitcher. I think he's a tough kid. You know, he had a tough out in the other night. Hopefully he's okay, and this is just, you know, growing pains for these guys. But, boy, I'd be less than surprised if one or both of these guys didn't have some kind of serious arm issues between now and next opening day. It's clearly something wrong. And speaking of arm issues, hopefully the Logan Verrett era will end quite shortly. Boy, I really don't want to see him out there much longer. And not to mention, I don't really want to see Jonathan Nease out there either, talking about a trade deadline get. I mean, it was really, I would love to be on the conversation with Sandy Alderson, the GM of the Pirates, talking about, hey, I got Jonathan Nease, hey, I got Antonio Bastardo. Hey, you guys, like exchanging yesterday's newspapers. Anybody really want it? You know all the stuff already. But I'm not a big Jonathan Nease guy. You know, I think he serves a purpose, but boy, he's not much better than Logan Verrett. And, you know, lastly, closing on the Mets, Terry Collins taking his fair amount of crap for some of his decisions. Yeah, that call last night, you know, I watched the replay. I don't know. It's tough to say. Should he have called the challenge? Of course he should have. If he had it, use it. But, you know, it's easier to sit here and criticize these guys. And, you know, he's in the heat of the moment. I know he gets paid a lot of money. I know it's his job, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, he said he had some insight from his replay guy that it wasn't really much a challenge. You know, tough to kill Terry, but he's got a couple of things on him between, you know, that, the familiar closing, you know, was it him who handled Cespedes wrong? I think the Cespedes situation is not Terry Collins' call. I think that's coming from the top. That's a collective decision whether he should be out there playing. So Terry's dealing with a lot of tough stuff this year. You know, I still think he's a guy that you want in there next year if they can bring him back. I don't think he's the problem with the Mets, with the roster they had. He's doing the best job that he can. So, again, the Mets people, we have to see. We have to monitor how they do over these next few weeks. I think if you're looking, you know, they have a couple of series coming up, Arizona, San Diego this week, and those are definitely winnable games. But, you know, let's see what the Mets do. I mean, you got San Diego coming in here, a team you should beat up for 3 games, even Arizona. Arizona's banged up. I think they're getting Greinke back, but, you know, their pitching is really not good. I mean, these are 6 games. If the Mets are on the right track, they should at least win 4 or 5 of them. We'll see how it goes out in Citi Field this week. Moving over to the Bronx, yeah, listen, we're in full rebuild mode. I, you know, I called it, or at least I suggested it on the show that Brian Cashman rebuild, and he did. And I think it's great for the Yankees that they've really gone about their business probably in the way that you have to in this day and age with Major League Baseball. You know, they got a lot of kids, you know, guys like they mentioned the kid from the Indians, Sheffield, obviously the big bat that they got from Cleveland. You know, I think that, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, I follow Baseball America. Those guys are the experts in minor league talent. And they said the Yankees farm team went up to the top 5 after the move. To me, that's good enough to know that Cashman did well, because those guys pretty much have the pulse on minor league talent as much as you can. So I think that the Yankees did as well as they could for the guys that they got. And they're in rebuild mode. And I think that, you know, this is how you win in the major leagues. When you look at, you know, the teams that are consistently successful, and who are the buyers? at the deadline usually, right? Boston, Texas, the Nets. Yeah, Cleveland's been bouncing around. These guys, these franchises, excuse me, have great minor league scouting. They know how to build a pipeline, whether they're getting, you know, the people in the draft, they're signing free agents from the Caribbean. These franchises know how to build teams, and that's why they're consistently successful. The Yankees have been consistent. Yeah, obviously, they've built some great talent, you know, over the years when you think about Jeter and Bernie Williams and Posada, you know, Andy Pettit. But, you know, the Yankees have built a lot over acquisitions. There's no denying that. And I think that the Yankees now see the success pattern in the major leagues really comes down to you have to find a young talent. I mean, I think everyone always knew that, but I don't think you can go out and buy the Ellsberries, the McCanns, and the Sabathias and all those guys and think that that's a good long-term play. I think the Yankees are going to be much more prudent with their contracts, and they're doing the right thing. You know, and congratulations on a great career, Mark Teixeira. Not a Hall of Famer to me, but a great career nonetheless. The deal he signed with the Yankees, which was a ton of money, but he did really help them win their last World Series, so I think it was good for them. But good for him not hanging on, right? I think, you know, we'll talk about A-Rod in a second, but Mark Teixeira, you know, he is certainly at the end of his rope. He's hurt. Good for him for hanging it up. Time to go. Great career for you, Mark Teixeira. Congratulations. A-Rod, you know, it's funny, you know, he announced the press conference out of nowhere last night. I did not see it. I read a little about it. It's kind of typical A-Rod. He's in some kind of consultant advisory role. Who knows what's going on over there? You know, an odd way to go for an odd situation. But, hey, at the end of the day, you know, A-Rod, if he's smart, he's done. He moves on. And that's the end of it. I think that, you know, obviously with him, listen, I enjoyed watching A-Rod play. I think he's a great baseball player. Obviously, the steroids are going to taint him no matter what happens. You know, if he never makes the Hall of Fame, it's a shame because his pure talent, he probably should have. But, hey, listen, with what's gone on with Bonds, Clemens, and the other guys, he's not going to be surprised if he doesn't make it. But he made his own bed, and Lord knows who's been in it, and now he has to lie in it. Again, folks, you want to call in tonight, the number 631-888-8811. Again, 631-888-8811. You want to call in. Let's talk baseball and football pretty much tonight. Trade deadline. So looking at the winners, from my view, I think Texas. I talked about Texas last week. I said Texas will make moves. They always do. Again, another good run organization. They picked up, you know, Jonathan Lucroy and Carlos Beltran, obviously. Yeah, I still think they're the team going from the American League to the World Series. I think they have a lot of talent. Their offense is very good. You know, for them, it's pitching. Darvish pitched fantastic today. They have Cole Hamels. If they can get those guys keep pitching as well as they have and maybe someone else stepping up, you know, they are the team to me to beat in the American League. The American League is really unbelievably even at the top. We'll talk about that in a second. But other winners from the deadline, obviously the Indians going for Andrew Miller. I think it was a great pickup for them in the back end of their bullpen. They did lose Salazar to the DL. So Cleveland, you know, they're there. As of yesterday, you know, two games ahead of Detroit. They lost today and so did Detroit. I think Cleveland still has, you know, the Carrasco and Kluber. They lost Salazar, though, which hurts. You know, I wonder about them a little bit down the stretch. It's something to watch. The Giants, I thought, were winners. Matt Moore, I'm not a huge fan of, but, you know, he gives them a little more depth than some of the guys I had in the back end, excuse me, that rotation. And Eduardo Nunez, who's been absolutely phenomenal this year. Great pickup for them. I think he had four runs the other day. He's a great asset, plays all over the field. Obviously, ex-Yankee, had a great year with the Twins. The Giants, again, another team that just knows how to do it. Other winners, I think, to the Blue Jays. Now they picked up Upton about a week before the deadline, a bunch of pitching depth. Liriano, a couple of other arms. So I think that they did the right thing by just adding depth. They obviously have a great offense. You know, Toronto's going to be there. I think they'll be a contender. Washington, you know, I like Melanson in the rotation. I think Washington did well by getting him. And the Dodgers, again, smart pickup. Rich Hill was a good pitcher. I think he's coming back next week. And Josh Reddick in the outfield, another nice piece. Dodgers, you know, again, pretty good winners. To me, in the trade deadline, I think we also read that Kershaw might be coming back. In terms of the American League, you want to talk about holy parody. I was thinking about, you know, watching Batman as a kid and Robinson. Holy parody, Batman. Look at the AL. The top six teams in the AL are all within three or four wins of each other. Baltimore, Toronto, Boston, Cleveland, Detroit, and Texas, and Houston's a little bit back, about, you know, they're in the 57, 58 win category. That tells you the race is anyone's. Again, I still think Texas is the team. I think they're coming out of the AL, but you can literally make a case for any of those teams. right? Baltimore, great offense they have. I think Buck Showalter's great in the dugout. Toronto, I talked about. I'm a huge fan of their offense. They got some arms. You have Stroman can keep it going. Jay Happ has had a fantastic season this year. I think Toronto is a team you have to watch out. You got Estrada as well in the rotation. You know, Boston has not played as well the last couple of weeks, but you know they still have a great offense. I think you know they still got Price on the mound. I still think their pitching is a little shaky. I don't think Pomeranz is the answer that everyone thinks. I think Boston will be there because of the offense. But, you know, I'd be honest, I like Baltimore, Toronto, and Texas better than Boston. In the National League, you know, I think it's two teams. I think it's the Nationals and the Cubs. I've said that. I'll stick to that. I'd be shocked if those two teams aren't in the NLCS. I think when you look at the other teams around San Francisco, again, I like their moves. I'm a big fan of their manager. Obviously, I love their 1-2 punch with Bumgarner and Cueto. I don't think their offense can compete with the Nats and the Cubs, but they still have, you know, still some players on there, you know, getting Nunez and Hunter Pence is back. You know, that's the one team that I think they get hot and they're so well coached that they can give the Nats and Cubs a little bit of a run. I'm not a big fan of the bullpen. The Giants' bullpen is very shaky. Their closer, Casilla, is shaky. They have Strickland back there, Romo. You know, middle and back end of their bullpen is something that you got to think about. And the Dodgers, again, Kershaw, I read today, might be coming back. If he comes back, you got to clearly look out for the Dodgers. You know, you don't get Clayton Kershaw in a series. Clearly, he's a huge difference maker. And the other teams, again, you know, I don't think the Mets are as good as any of the four teams I mentioned. I think the Marlins, again, they're still hanging around. I think they will. The Cardinals, the Pirates, the Mets, you know, and you still have the Rockies lingering around a little bit. They play pretty good baseball, but I just don't think, you know, they have the horses to make it. But, you know, they're not far. So, again, I think it's going to be, I look at the World Series, I called Cubs and Rangers. Again, I'd like to see Cubs and Indians. I still think Cubs-Rangers. I think the Cubs are going to win it this year. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. And it's health, right? It's all about health. Got to stay healthy. Keep your team going to the end of the year. Hopefully don't lose anyone big. And then let's reassess the races at the end of September. So looking at, again, folks, you want to call in tonight, 631-888-8811. Again, 631-888-8811. So that's going to wrap up the baseball chat. And we'll talk a little bit about the Jets now. And then after the break, touch on the Giants, a little bit of an NFL preview, and then touch a little bit on fantasy before we close out Sports Talk tonight at 10 o'clock. In terms of the Jets, looking at, you know, what's just kind of following the camp, you know, it's funny, I've watched Brandon Marshall from his rookie years in Denver when he played for the Broncos, and it was catching balls from Jay Cutler. Yeah, he's talking a lot this camp. And you know, listen, he's obviously, you know, a very open and personable guy with the shows that he does. You know, fighting with Revis, that happens a lot. You know, two high-profile guys, though, fighting, I thought was a little odd. I like Brandon Marshall as a player. Obviously, he's a great wide receiver, a great year last year. I just hope that this isn't, you know, heading to one of his disruptive states because, you know, he has, you know, essentially played himself out of every city he's ever went to. Hopefully, you know, he's not wearing out his welcome. He seems to have matured over the years. But you just have to wonder that some of these things that are happening are a little bit indicative of some past behavior, and you just hope, right, that this is not something that's happened, because you can't ignore what's happened with him in the past. You just can't. I mean, this guy's a great talent, and Chicago traded him to the Jets for a couple of kicking tees. I mean, literally a late round pick. Matt Forte hasn't practiced much, if at all. I don't think he needs to practice. He's a great player, but you know, that's a little worrisome with Matt Forte. You know, he's got a lot of miles on him. I would really wonder if he lasts the season. Hopefully he does, because, I mean, the Jets are going to need him. I'm not a big fan of Bilal Powell exciting me as running back. I think he'll get his chances, because I don't think Matt Forte is going to be in there all season doing 300 carries. I think, you know, coach has come out and said that. But the fact that he hasn't practiced much, you know, I think when I look at camps and exhibition for the NFL, it's about health. I really don't care how any of the starters perform. Anyone who looks at the stats or worries, to me, it's a wasteful. I think it's just about health. Our guy's healthy going into the season, and that's all that you have to gauge, right? I'm not worried about stats. I think, you know, the third game, right, they're always playing three quarters. You just want to see, you know, if guys are successful, but they're not really going as out as they do in the regular season. You see the differences in the play when the season starts. I just want to see Matt Forte on the field a little bit. I think the Jets' depth is a little bit of a concern for me, folks. Again, I think after Decker and Marshall. They don't have a good third receiver or fourth, for that matter. And the tight ends, right? You know, there's not really a tight end that scares you. So for when I'm looking at the Jets preseason, here's three things or four things I'm looking for, right? Will a third wide receiver emerge that excites anybody? I mean, I don't even know the third wide receiver right now. The kid from Ohio State last year that had his ups and downs. I think you really need a third option in the NFL these days. Will Jace Amaro contribute? Because I think the Jets need some help at tight end, running back position depth. How will Ryan Clady hold up? Right, Ryan Clady, you know, has talked about, yeah, I'm still not feeling 100%. You know, again, in Denver, you know, watching him as I've watched the Broncos, plays great when he's in there. The last couple of years, I thought his play slipped a little bit, quite honestly. Got hurt. Obviously, missed all the last season, missed a Super Bowl run. I think he's a good player when he's in there. You need his health, again, but you want to see him on that line a little bit, at least get a couple of reps. And on defense, you know, obviously the Jets' defensive front is the key, right? That is the key to their football team and maybe their season. They have probably the best up line I've seen in the NFL in a long time with Richardson, Wilkerson, and I think Williams is great. You know, the key is, can they get the linebackers going? And can the secondary continue to emerge? A couple of guys like Gilchrist and Skrine back there. So, again, I think for the Jets, it's health. The offense has some questions, and let's see how the camp goes. So, again, I think we'll have to see how things go for the Jets. And we'll talk a bit about the Giants. Go through the NFL a little quick, give a couple of quick predictions, and start on fantasy right after the break.
Listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Paul Spiteri Show. We're going from 9:30 to 10. For those of you coming on, I apologize. My guest tonight, Howard Cross, had to cancel. Unfortunately, he had an unforeseen family situation. I texted with him about an hour and a half ago. He said he cannot come on. He said he will definitely try to reschedule and maybe come on the next show. So for those of you looking for Howard Cross, unfortunately, Howard could not make it tonight to talk Giants football. So I do apologize for not having Howard on. So let's talk a little bit about the Giants. The Giants, again, I think, you know, I'm actually a fan of the Giants in terms of their chances this year. I think that, you know, with camp underway, I think that the Giants, from an offensive perspective, again, you know, the thing similar to the Jets, I worry a little bit about depth with the Giants. I think, obviously, running back, you know, I'm not a huge fan of their stable running backs. I think Rashard Jennings looks great some days, gets hurt constantly. I like Shane Vereen, you know, but he's more of a receiver out of the backfield than a runner. But if McAdoo mixes the carries with Jennings and Vereen and some of the other depth that he has back there with maybe Andre Williams, you know, then I think that, you know, it could be, you know, kind of enough from that group of running backs. But it's certainly nobody there that you wake up and say, boy, I got a game plan around these guys. Obviously, you game plan around number 13, Odell Beckham Jr., right? That clearly is one of the best players in the NFL. I think on the offensive line, the Giants, they should be okay. I think they have some guys that have emerged last year. But, again, the key is they have to be successful in blocking for Eli. And on the receiver front, you know, everyone is really counting on this kid Shepherd out of Oklahoma. And, you know, I think it's a little tough to count on young kids out of school, first-year wide receivers. You know, you have situations where they do well, like Amari Cooper last year. But, you know, I think they're asking a lot for a guy first year out of school. But they're going to need him to step up because Victor Cruz, I think, you know, is probably looking at, you know, a type of slot job wide receiver. So I think the Giants, again, their little depth issue worries me as well at some of the key positions. I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see how McAdoo does as a head coach. I think with a head coach, you always have some new things. Clock management, game day calls, it's never perfect. If you haven't been a head coach before, I think that's a little underrated. But he's obviously been around the team, knows the game, and we'll see how he performs with the spotlight on him on opening day. From a defensive perspective, I think, you know, obviously they need, you know, Olivier Vernon and JPP to apply pressure. I think the Giants linebackers are average at best. There's, you know, nobody really there that you kind of want to jump out and say, wow, you know, I'm worrying about, you know, blocking this guy off the edge. I think it's their line that has to get through. And obviously they got you know, Harrison up the middle from the Jets. Yeah, in the secondary they got some playmakers out there. But, you know, they got some guys that take gambles like Jenkins. And we'll see what happens. But I like the Giants. I'll talk a bit about more of them in the NFL overview in a second, but you know, hopefully we get Howard on in maybe 2 weeks, and we'll talk about the Giants in depth and see what he's seeing from camp. I saw you know, Howard is the Giants sideline reporter. He does also some segments on Yes and MSG, and was on the other night. I was watching him talk about Pop, about the tight end of the team. So hopefully we get Howard on, give us a little insight as to what's going on over there in East Rutherford. In terms of the NFL this season, you know, I looking around, let's talk about the AFC first, right? In the East, you got, you know, I think it's the Pats division, you know, to me until otherwise proven. I think the Patriots win it. They're the best coach. They have the best quarterback. If he's out for four games, you know, I just don't see the Jets, Dolphins, or Bills beating them in a division. I do think that we'll see some improvement, and we'll talk a bit about that in a second from Miami. Over in the North, listen, I think it's, you know, the Steelers and Bengals again. You know, the Ravens and Browns are not good enough. The Steelers, their offense is excellent. There's no doubt about it. You know, but it's just interesting. You know, Le'Veon Bell probably going down for four games. You know, he's clearly got some off-the-field issues. But if he's back and healthy, he's an unbelievable weapon. Obviously, they lost Bryant, but they still got Antonio Brown. So they got Coates out there, you know, and Marcus Wheaton. They picked up Ladarius Green from San Diego, and obviously they got Ben. So Pittsburgh, obviously, from an offensive perspective, can give you a lot of problems. I think on defense, they spent some picks the last couple of years on linebackers. Those guys need to step up and start making plays. They're secondary. They drafted a couple of guys. That's been a huge weakness for them. So I think Pittsburgh is obviously a contender in the AFC. They do have their holes. You know, the Bengals, you know, I'll never forget that Bengals steal a playoff game last year. It's one of the most unbelievable NFL games I've ever seen. I think the Bengals, you know, they have talent. I think, you know, they are a little thin at wide receiver now with just A.J. Green. They drafted somebody, obviously, but they lost, you know, Sanu, and they lost Marvin Jones. Eifert's a little banged up. They need him back. So I think, you know, it's going to be the Bengals, Steelers, bloodbath for that division. I think the Steelers win it personally. Over in the South, right, I think the AFC South is one of those divisions on the come, right? It's amazing. Are killing Andrew Luck this year, right? Andrew Luck, he didn't have a great year last year. He was erratic. He was hurt. But he's still Andrew Luck. I think he comes back and has a big year. I think people are down on him a little bit too much. But you look at the other teams at division. Jaguars, who are everyone's darling, I think the Jaguars will be much better. Are they in the playoffs? I will say no. I think, you know, it's one of those teams, you love them in the offseason. They drafted well. They picked up some guys like Malik Jackson from Denver. They drafted Miles Jack. They drafted Jalen Ramsey. But you know what? Yeah, I'm a believer that in the NFL, you have to take a step forward, get disappointed before you go even further. And I don't think the Jaguars, to me, are not going from whether they're 4-12 or 5-11 to, you know, 10-6 and making the playoffs. I mean, they can. They have the talent, but, you know, I just don't believe teams make that leap that easy in the NFL. The Texans, obviously, you know, going with Brock Osweiler, quarterback. They obviously still have J.J. Watt, who hopefully is not as hurt as we've been reading. You know, J.J. Watt is just a great guy to have around the NFL. And the Titans, You know, who would have thought we'd be talking about the Titans? I think the Titans are doing some great things. Obviously, they made a great draft day trade. I'm a big Marcus Mariota guy. I think that they have some talent on both ends of the ball. They picked up some guys to play the line. I think they're a team on the come, not this year, maybe not even next, but you know, I don't think they're going to be an easy out. So I think the AFC South is getting better, and I think there's some four teams there that will give your football team a hard time. Again, folks, you want to call in 631-888-8811 before we close the show in about 20 minutes. And going over the AFC West, I think the AFC West will be competitive. You know, I still think the Broncos win the division. Obviously, the Broncos have massive issues at quarterback. You know, Mark Sanchez, Trevor Siemian. I don't think Paxton Lynch is starting. So that's obviously a concern. You know, they won it last year without, you know, Peyton Manning playing so well, but he's still Peyton Manning. I still think the Broncos' defense is just too good for that team to slip. I think that their secondary is phenomenal. I think they have great linebackers, obviously Von Miller, Brandon Marshall. I think Shane Ray steps up. I still think Denver's defense is good enough to win a division. I think that the Oakland Raiders will be there with them. The Raiders have come a long way. They signed a ton of good guys in the offseason. You know, they've been drafting well. I think that the Raiders are on the right track. Are they ready to unseat Denver? I mean, you know, they obviously beat him last year in Denver in a tight game. I think, you know, they got Khalil Mack. They got David Carr, Cooper. There's a lot of talent on the Oakland Raiders. You know, that, I think that they and the Broncos will be battling that division till the end. I think the Raiders make the playoffs regardless if the Broncos win a division. I think the Raiders are a wild card team. I think those two teams, the Broncos and Raiders, make the playoffs. I think the Chiefs are good, but I'm not a big fan of Andy Reid. I think he's a good coach, don't get me wrong, but I just think he makes a lot of mistakes and odd calls, I think, as the season goes on. Yeah, I just don't see the Chiefs, you know, beating the Raiders and Broncos out in that division. And the San Diego Chargers, you know, yeah, they've acquired some guys, you know, for Phillip Rivers. I still think they have a lot of holes on that defense. I'm not a huge fan. I don't think they'll be a terrible team, but I think at best you're looking at 7-9 over there. So in the AFC, if I had to call division winners and wild cards, I'd say Pats, Steelers, Colts, Denver win a division, and the Raiders, and I think the Bengals still squeeze into the playoffs. Over the NFC, look at the East. I think the Giants win a division. I think the Giants will beat out the Redskins. I think the Redskins will be in there, but I think it's a Giants and Redskins that division. I think Dallas' defense is really, really not that good, and I think they can score points, but I think they're going to give them up. I just don't see Dallas being good enough on defense to go far in the NFC, let alone in the NFC. And the NFC North, I'm calling the Vikings. I think the Vikings win the division. I think, you know, they are part of my theory of stepping back before you step forward. They lost that devastating game at home against Seattle last year when Walsh missed a field goal. I think they have a great coach with Zimmer. There's a ton of talent on that team on both sides of the ball. Again, if Teddy Bridgewater can hold the fort, he's got weapons at receiver. He's got a great running back. He's got a great line. That team you would not be shocked if the Vikings were in the NFC Championship game next year. I think the Vikings win that division. I think Green Bay comes back a little bit of a better year. I still think that the Vikings are a little bit better than the Packers now, but I think the Packers are there. And listen, I think Chicago and Detroit, you know, are not playoff teams, but I think those two teams can give teams a hard time. I think Chicago's got some components on offense. You know, Kevin White's coming back. They got Jeffrey. You know, Jay Cutler on his good days can kill you. Moving the ball, but you never know what you're going to get with him. Over in the South, I think the Panthers win the division again. I think they're just too loaded across the board. I think Cam Newton is going to hopefully learn from that Super Bowl loss, come back with a chip on his shoulder. But I think they are much better than Tampa, Atlanta, New Orleans. I think Tampa's coming back up the chain. I think with their quarterback, Jameis Winston, I think that, you know, Tampa Bay could be in the mix this year. You know, they were 6-6 before they fell apart last year. I think they're a decent team. Over in the NFC West, I think you got the Cardinals and the Seahawks again. Yes, I don't see a huge change, folks, in the landscape of playoff teams. I think in the AFC, the Raiders enter the fray where they have not been involved. And I think in the NFC, you know, I'm thinking that, well, the Giants, you know, it's funny. You know, one of the questions I had for Howard Cross, if you were to come, the Giants only made the playoffs once since 2008. It was the year they won the Super Bowl in 11. So the Giants, you know, they're the Giants. Obviously, we're a New York-based program, and we talk about them. But the Giants, they've been around the periphery of the playoffs. The Giants need to step up this year. I think they're all kind of playing a little sense of urgency, and some of the signings that they made, I think, indicates that. But I think the NFC power stays in Arizona, Seattle, and Carolina, and Minnesota. I think those are the four power teams. Yeah, I think Green Bay is there, but I got to tell you, I take the other four ahead of Green Bay. So I think you'll see a similar landscape. A couple of quick notes. I think teams that will improve, or a couple of things. Dolphins offense will get better with Adam Gase. I think he'll make Tannehill a better quarterback. I think he'll work the weapons. He's got some good young receivers out there with Parker and Landry. I think the Browns, you know, I'm not calling the Browns to get a heck of a lot better, but I think they'll be more stable with Hugh Jackson. I like Hugh Jackson, what he did with Oakland in a tough situation. He just, you know, did great things with Cincinnati as well. Obviously, I think the Jaguars are on the come, but I think they need to make a leap before they get to the playoffs. But they'll be around this year, and I think you'll hear a lot from them. I think they're going to talk about the Titans, and the Raiders are clearly on the cusp. In the NFC, again, I'm saying the Vikings take the next step, possible NFC championship game team to me. Over in Chicago, I think they're slowly improving. I think they're bringing some good players in. They're getting a little bit better. I don't think they're a playoff team yet, but I think, you know, one thing about John Fox, he obviously disappointed everyone in Denver Nation with getting crushed by Seattle in the Super Bowl, but he definitely brings stability and can bring some kind of wins and just kind of the consistency that they've been lacking in Chicago, the term I was looking for. Yeah, again, the Bucks with Winston, I think they're on the come. I think Jameis Winston's going to be a great NFL quarterback. The Falcons, they have a good coach now in Quinn. I think they need a little bit of time. You know, I think Matt Ryan's a good quarterback. You know, he's never made the next step, but I think that they're in good hands with Dan Quinn and the Rams. Listen, the Rams have Todd Gurley, and, you know, we'll see what Jared Goff can bring. Obviously, they have a great defense. I'm not a huge Jeff Fisher guy, but I think, you know, with Todd Gurley, if Jared Goff is, listen, he's the number one pick in the draft, something's got to be, you know, there. I watched him in college. You know, he never blew me away, but, you know, I'm not an NFL scout. I do think, though, that the Rams are somebody that you got to think about in the long run. So, again, folks, if you want to call in, we got about 15 minutes to go, 631-888-8811. I'm going to close the next 15 minutes out in the show. We're talking about fantasy football, right, with August 7th, the fantasy football draft. I actually like to do my drafts closer to the opening day, right? Well, the one thing about the NFL is injuries, right? And, you know, every year, and mark my words, some guy that you'll be drafting high will get hurt in the next 3-4 weeks. It just always happens, right? Jordy Nelson got hurt last year. Other guys on the top of my head went down. But I like to draft as far close to the opening day as you can, which obviously opening day is on a Thursday night, you know, Denver and the Panthers. Just because of injuries. I don't think it's you know more. I don't think things change drastically in terms of your rankings. I'm just one that, you know, if I'm going to go in and draft a team, I want to know that at least on opening day I have my full roster. Then you draft, you know, middle of August, and you pick up a guy, you know, in the third round, and he blows his knee out, and you lose a third-round pick. And that does happen. Listen, I had a team last year, my first two picks in a league that I won, was Dez Bryant and Odell Beckham. Right? Dez, he got three catches for me before he was done and then came back at the end. So it happens, don't get me wrong, but, you know, the more you know in terms of injuries, the better you are. So when I look at quarterbacks, right, in fantasy this year, it's funny. You know, I looked at this morning. To me, there's six rock-solid, really 6A. Let's say six, you know, because I'll mention Tom Brady in a second. But to me, the rock-solid quarterbacks, guys who if you draft – you don't really have to lose sleep over. Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, and Ben Roethlisberger. Obviously, I think Cam Newton's the number one quarterback in fantasy. I think Rodgers and Luck are behind him. I think Russell Wilson has come alive as a passer. Had a great year last year. I think Russell Wilson's a great quarterback. He does everything. He's smart. He knows how to play football. I mean, how can you not root for him? But you know, to me, those are the six guys that, you know, if you have them at quarterback, all right, you got your quarterback. You just need to fill in for the bye, and that's it. Those are all rock solid. Tom Brady would obviously, in my opinion, be in that category if he wasn't missing the four games. Obviously, if you're drafting and you want Tom Brady, you know, you can still take him early, but maybe your theory is you take Brady and you take a quarterback quickly after, just so you kind of have a guy for the first. Listen, you don't want to start out the season 0-4 either, because it's hard to come back in fantasy from that. But, you know, obviously if Tom Brady was not suspended, you know, he'd be in my rock-solid category. So he's solid but not fully spectacular because of the suspension. But I think Brady comes back strong. I think he's going to come back on a mission, sort of like he played last year when he was a little looked like he was a little pissed off from all the talk about the Deflategate. Other two guys who I think, you know, they're solid but they're not fully spectacular to me, Carson Palmer and Eli Manning. You know, Palmer, I like. They throw the heck out of the ball in Arizona. I just have injury attached to him in my mind. He gets hurt, you know, quite a bit. But when he plays, he goes on good runs. Eli Manning, you know, Eli's great. He's consistent. He's never going to run. He throws the ball constantly, throws some picks. But, you know, he's solid, but he's not, you know, to me, in that top six. The numbers are there for two guys, Phillip Rivers and Matthew Stafford, right? The numbers are there, always. They're not top guys, in my opinion. Now, to me, if you draft Rivers and Stafford, your strategy is you've gone heavy in receivers and running backs, and you take those two guys. Because you know what? You get Rivers in the 15th, 16th round if you're doing, you know, 25-plus fantasy draft. So, but their numbers are there. Rivers always has numbers, right? So if you're drafting Rivers, you've loaded up elsewhere. Stafford, the same. Stafford, now listen, lost Calvin Johnson, but you know, they picked up Baldwin, which I thought was a very smart move in Detroit. He's got Abdullah running back. He's got Golden Tate. He's got some other players. You know, he's an improviser, Matthew Stafford. He's probably a little underrated. When he's all said and done with his numbers, it'll be interesting to see if he's in the Hall of Fame conversation. Maybe purely numbers he'll have, but he just hasn't won much. Now here's, in my opinion, the could be top five soon enough guys. Winston, Bortles, Carr, and Mariota. To me, those are guys that next year at this time we could be talking about in the top five. I love all of them. I don't trust all of them if to be my full fantasy starting quarterback this year. I would potentially draft those guys in the mid rounds. Obviously, I want to get hooked up at receiver and running back, maybe put a good tight end in there. But I think Bortles, out of the four of them, has the best weapons to throw to. He's got great receivers. He's got a great tight end. His line is not that good, though. That's the one thing I worry about Blake Bortles. He has great running backs, too. Derek Carr, I think, has a better line now. He's got some weapons at receiver. You know, we'll see what Murray gives him at running back. But those guys, to me, you know, Winston, Bortles, Carr, and Mariota are the ones that really we could be talking about the top echelon of quarterbacks soon. Let's see. To me, they're mid this year. They're still starters, right? If you're doing a 14-team league, right now I'm at my 15th guy, all right? You're doing a 12-team league? Yeah, they're borderline starters, right, those four. But you definitely want to have one of them around because one of those guys could emerge and be a top 10 quarterback this year. Beside them, looking down, to me, this scares the blank out of me, Tony Romo and Tyrod Taylor. Again, Tony Romo, numbers will be there if he's on the field. He's getting old. He didn't play much last year. You know, he's got the numbers when he's healthy, Tony Romo, no doubt about it. They got a dynamic offense now with Elliott and Bryant's hopefully healthy. But I don't know. I'm still a little worried about I'm not a big Dez Bryant guy this year. I think he's had the foot problems. I think if he comes back, you know, healthy, he's fantastic. But I, you know, Romo and Tyrod Taylor, I'm not a huge fan of Buffalo at all. I think Rex Ryan is a great defensive mind and loves the way he talks. But you know, offensively, his teams are never really that great. Tyrod Taylor showed some stuff last year. He runs around. He can get hit a lot. He does not have great weapons outside of Sammy Watkins. I think LeSean McCoy is kind of on his last legs. So, you know, I'm not a big fan. To me, the guys I call, they're like a piece of white toast. Tannehill, Ryan, Dalton, and Fitzpatrick. Yeah, you know, put them in for a bye week to me. Maybe Tannehill emerges under Gase. He's got the most upside of the four. I don't think Dalton has the weapons. Matt Ryan's got a great one guy over there with Julio Jones. But, you know, those guys don't do it for me. Two guys, I'll say, maybe, I don't know, show me again. Kirk Cousins and Brock Osweiler, right? Kirk Cousins was phenomenal at the end of last year. Let me see it again, right? Because Kirk Cousins before last year, nobody even would draft Kirk Cousins. And Osweiler, you know, he's got his chance now. He's starting. He's got some weapons, right? He's got a good coach in O'Brien. Let's see what Brock can do. Again, he only played 7 games for Denver last year, a little inconsistent. So let's see. Let's, you know, again, I don't know about those guys. Show me again. I would definitely have them on my radar. I wouldn't be comfortable with them as my starting quarterback coming out of a draft. And if you have these guys as your starters, you have clearly punted on the quarterback position. Jay Cutler, Alex Smith, Joe Flacco, RG3, Bridgewater, Gabbert, Sanchez, Bradford, and Goff. Yeah, those are waiver wire guys to me. Again, folks, before we close out, and maybe we'll touch a little bit upon running backs, I want you to think about using CJA Luxury Transportation for all your transportation needs. Call CJA Luxury Transportation. Call Craig. Airport trips into the city, wineries, weddings, any other transportation that you need. Craig's a real reliable guy. He's got luxury vehicles at very reasonable prices. You know, Craig will talk to you on the phone, set up your trips. You can also find him on Facebook. He's got a website on there, CJA Luxury Transportation. Give him a call, 516 516- 516-557-7991. Again, 516-557-7991. So before we close out tonight, folks, talk a little bit about fantasy running backs, right? I think, you know, it's funny. Out of, you know, it's always been running backs. I think clearly everyone who plays fantasy football has realized the pendulum has shifted to wide receivers, right? And I'm going to get into wide receivers probably on the next show because there's a lot to talk about at wide receivers. Running backs is interesting. Yeah, I have never been going into, and I've started looking at fantasy stuff probably in the last week or so. I've never been in a situation where I look at the running backs, and I got to tell you, I think Todd Gurley is clearly the number one, and I think he's great. He's young, plays on a decent team, obviously, in terms of getting chances because they don't have a ton of offense outside of him. He's the number one guy. But again, he's only in his second year, and he's also had injury history. Then after him, you got David Johnson, who had a great second half. But there's like two other running backs in Arizona, and they throw the ball a lot, but he still should be good. But, you know, I can't sit here and say, wow, he's a lock. David Johnson's going to have a tremendous year. I think he's a good football player and a great, you know, rookie season, but if you can tell me that you're 100% sure this guy is a star, I really ask you to prove that because, again, here's a guy you're working off, you know, a 10 to 15 game portfolio. Ezekiel Elliott, everyone's got, one guy said he could be number one pick in the draft. I think it's crazy to put a rookie running back that high. He's third and second in a lot of people's rankings that I read, people who are, you know, obviously great fantasy writers. Clearly he's in a great situation, and he's a great running back. He's a rookie, though. It takes learning. Do I think he'll do well? Yeah, I actually do think he'll do well. But it's interesting how the top three running backs on a lot of people's boards, Gurley, Johnson, and Elliott, are either rookies or in their second year. I cannot remember any time since I've been playing fantasy football. I've been playing pretty solid since 94 that I can remember that. Beyond those guys, you know, Lamar Miller, this could be the year. Lamar Miller, you know, he's had some of those real home run games. He should be good with the situation he's in Houston. I'd like to see him over a full year. I mean, you can draft him, and I think with some confidence, but, you know, he's got to prove it. Adrian Peterson, I think, is probably the most solid. I think he's the guy with Gurley I'd feel the most comfortable with just because of the track record. I think he's going to, you know, blow it out like he has in the past. No. Do I think you can rely on Adrian Peterson? Absolutely. And I think in fantasy football, you know, you need guys that are reliable. I think he's obviously, he was healthy last year. I still think I would draft him. If you can get him in the second round, I think that's a great pick. Beyond them, guys, it gets a little sketchy. Eddie Lacy, I don't know what you got of Eddie Lacy. He might eat himself out of the NFL at some point. Boy, he's a load when you look at him. You know, he's a very good running back when he's in there. In a very good situation, but he's hard to trust, right? So we're already at the sixth guy at the running back position, and I'm already starting to, do I trust him? I don't know. Do I trust Jamaal Charles, right? What's interesting about Kansas City, they won a playoff game last year. They played New England tough, and Jamaal Charles didn't even play in most of the season, right? That just shows you can plug RBs in like they did. They had West had a nice year, a couple of other guys they brought off the bench. So I think Charles is a good football player. I think he's explosive, but he's had a lot of injury problems. So you wonder how much Andy Reid's going to use him. But, you know, he's top 10 for sure when you look at this list. Le'Veon Bell is up now to me. Again, he's out four games. He's got a slip. He gets hurt a lot. He's got a lot of off-the-field problems, this guy. You know, so that's his first brush with drugs or situations off the field. But when he's on the field, he's clear-cut number one. There wouldn't even be a conversation about number one if Le'Veon Bell didn't have the suspension hanging over him. And beyond that, you guys, you know, you look at a couple of other guys. Doug Martin, you know, he had a good year last year. I think he's in a nice offense. LeSean McCoy, I don't know. I like LeSean McCoy as my second guy, not my first. Beyond that, you have Devontae Freeman, who I like Devontae Freeman. I think he'll be on a short leash with Tevin Coleman back there. But, you know, he's a pretty good running back, catches the ball. He's a small guy. These small guys get hurt a lot. And then when you look at other guys, you know, in that mid-tier, right, where my 13th guy, Latavius Murray, C.J. Anderson, Thomas Rawls, Carlos Hyde. You know, they're all, you can make a case that all these guys could be good. Latavius Murray should be better this year, right? Better team, better line. There's no reason he shouldn't step up. But again, these guys have to step up. So I think you get a guy like him in, you know, fourth or fifth round, he could win you a draft. Or, you know, if he's your number one running back, you know, he could be a problem. So, again, I think you look at a couple of other guys. You know, C.J. Anderson with Denver, he's got some competition with some rookies. I think one guy to look at, really two sleepers, well, not really, one guy kind of waking back up. I think Carlos Hyde will do well with Chip Kelly. I think Jeremy Hill comes back, has a nice year in Cincinnati. Sleepers, I'll give you three quick. I think Matt Jones is a sleeper. I think DeMarco Murray is a post-hype sleeper. And lastly, I think Melvin Gordon, who was awful as a rookie, you know, you wonder, he comes back in a better situation in San Diego, healthy. He could be as good as what they thought. They're drafting him is a guy like Melvin Gordon. So, again, folks, kind of giving you a quick through for the running backs. After that, I think we're looking at kind of, you know, the middle of the pack. But, again, running backs to me are not where I'd be drafting high this year. I think you're rolling the dice, really, from the fifth to sixth guy down. I think you want to build with solid receivers, and there's a lot of them. If you can get, you know, top receivers, your top two picks, I think that's the way to go. If you don't, I think don't draft some guys too high. I would look at Peterson, Gurley, Johnson, probably safest guys for me at the running back position. So, again, folks, we'll talk a little bit more about receivers. I'll cover tight ends and some of the other positions on the next show. Hopefully we'll get Howard Cross on. For those of you, again, looking for Howard Cross, sorry he couldn't make it tonight. He had to cancel last minute for a family situation. Hopefully we'll get Howard on the next show, the 21st, or shortly thereafter. Working on some other cool guests, I think, that everyone will like as well. Thank you for joining me on the Paul Spiteri Show and Sports Talk 1240. Thanks to Brian Graves for producing the show tonight behind the glass, and, of course, our producer who runs everything for us here at Sports Talk 1240, Rob Cole. Thank you, everybody, and I'll see you on August 21st for my next show. Thank you.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.